Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called.
Amen. Eagles of Fright Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Reed with tonight's Breakfast League
prayer related to cleansing debris. And we come forth tonight to bring forth the word of God to you, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord tonight. So before we get started, we want to enter in a word of prayer. As we come to the throne of grace, Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for your presence tonight as we allow you free course tonight, Lord. Thank you for doing what you desire to do, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your majesty, your power to be released on tonight, Lord God. Do what you desire to do. And we thank you as we submit ourselves to you, Lord, in your presence. We thank you, for Lord God, for your manifested glory in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, as we humbly submit ourselves. Do what you desire to do, Lord, that you should get all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. So we thank you as we open ourselves to you, Lord God, and allow you to have free course. We thank you for what you need to do in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your mighty hand to touch the impact of your word tonight and taking you in advance. Jesus, we thank you as you increase that we decrease now. Increase that we decrease now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. As you increase, we are decreased for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we thank you, Lord, for his presence tonight. And we want to talk to you tonight from the subject of the power of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Well, amen. We're going to go forth and we're going to ask you to turn with us to Acts chapter 1. Well, first let's turn to John 14 and verse 15 and also put a finger on Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Amen. So, all right. You're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. And so this will be very interesting how we go forth tonight and see how the Lord navigates us. And we're going to go flowing with the Spirit of God, however he leads. And that's where we're going to go. Amen. All right. So let's go to 14, verse 15. As we start here, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet, a little while, in the world, see me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that have my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be love of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, If a man love me, he will keep my command, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. So once again, we're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we are starting here first because just for the way how Jesus introduced him to the disciples and really kind of set the tone for what he does and what he can do in our life. And so, you know, I wanted to highlight that first verse of scripture that he says, if you, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We cannot see the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives in disobedience. We have to make sure that we are in obedience and align with his word in order for us to see the manifestation that he desires to show us. Amen. And so, before I go any further, let me make mention, if anyone desire prayer or comment or any request, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to make a question or request at this time. Amen. So as we see that, as we continue to go down further, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter. See, Jesus came, and he was bringing forth a type of comfort to people, letting them know this is him bringing the good news. The good news is, this is new, we see we hear and say good tidings, but the good news is exactly what it is. Good news, letting you know that you don't have to live the way you've been living anymore. You don't have to deal with sin anymore. You can break away from that and live a righteous life. You don't have to die no more. You don't have to die to sin. But when you die in Christ, you just do live on. You live on, and of course that's a whole different life. But under a new covenant, new life, way of living. So as we see this point here, where he set it up, letting us know that I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you a comforter, someone else who will be with you, that he may abide with you forever. See, someone who's going to be with you always, because his time is limited on the earth. But he knew once he sent the comforter, the Holy Spirit, he's going to change your life because he's going to be with you. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So along with the Comforter, the Spirit of truth is in operation as well. So this is why we, you know, as believers, we should be people of truth, you know, of our word. And because the power of the Holy Spirit is inside of us, he gives us the ability to tell the truth, live the truth, and you know, nothing but the truth will help us guide. So, amen. So as we see this in effect, we thank God for what he's done as far as bringing forth and setting us up with the Holy Spirit to help us in our life.
Praise God. Another reason why this was brought to our attention is because the Lord wanted us to see that we're not left here without help. I think that a lot of times we not only underestimate the Holy Spirit, meaning we don't realize everything that the Holy Spirit is to us and what he can do, but we also take for granted the Holy Spirit because we don't realize everything that he can do in our life and the purpose for which he's here, why he's here, and why he's within us. We've probably heard it many times before. When you don't understand or know the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable. And in this case, you can abuse the Holy Spirit by not utilizing him the way that God has ordained for him to be used. The scripture here in a different translation in the New King James Version in verse 16, it says, and I will bring the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. And so we handle life situations without incorporating the helper who is already, once we gave our life to Christ and we decided that he was going to be Lord of our lives, The Holy Spirit entered in, and he's already there to help us. But most of the time, if we look on a run of a day, on a run of a week, sometimes when we are not consciously making spirit-led decisions, we try to handle life situations on our own, and the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, becomes our last resort opposed to our first resort. If you're an executive in an office and they have and you have been given an assistant, your assistant do those things that you need them to do to make sure that your business or your organization is running the way it is supposed to. The Holy Spirit is even greater than that, because if we allow him to be the head and lead us in our life, he becomes more than an assistant. But if you look at it in that sense, the executive does not try to do all the work himself when he has an assistant. There are certain things that he knows that the assistant is going to be better at doing, and he gives those jobs to the assistant, or he allows the assistant to take care of those things. And so in our case, as believers, God has left us a helper, a comforter, somebody that's there for us, an advocate, somebody that's going to help us in any and everything that we need help. And our first call should be to the helper, to the comforter, because God has already given us that. That's not something we have to work for and God, please send somebody, or please, you know, we don't have to beg God for that. He said, I will give you another helper that's already there with you. And he's not just going to be there in the great big emergency. He's not just going to be there in the little things that happen in your life. It says that he will abide with you forever, which means no matter what is going on in our lives, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. The Holy Spirit is at our call, but we sometimes just don't. And he's just sitting there waiting, because God only moves on his word. He's waiting for us to call upon him through the word of God, to speak into our lives through the word of God. He's waiting to hear from us, but we just don't utilize the help. It's like paying somebody to be your maid and you clean the house every day. The maid's sitting in the corner just waiting for a job to do. You vacuuming, you sweeping, but you're paying this person weekly to come and clean your house, but you embarrassed so because your house is messy, so you clean up before the maids get here. That doesn't make sense. The job is for her or him to clean, so why are you doing it? You're overworking yourself. You're doing more than you have to do. And so that is, the Holy Spirit is there for us, and we shouldn't take for granted that he's there and just, you know, treat the Holy Spirit any kind of way, and we shouldn't be in a situation where we're not taking full advantage of the fact that God has given us a helper. When you're given a helper, utilize the help. Amen.
Amen. And so truly, he's here to help make our life easier, especially according to living the truth of the gospel. And definitely, especially because as an advocate, truly he can step. He steps in for us on a different level. He goes on to say, here's an advocate is a person who argues for or supports a cause or a policy. A person who works for a cause or group, a person who argues for the cause of another person in a court of law. See, the Holy Spirit, he argues for you. He or stands for you, speaks for you on your behalf. When it comes to the Father, he speaks in as far as to Jesus, and you know, he's standing as a gap for us, as well as too when it comes to life situations, he's also working on our behalf as well with things we cannot see, opportunities for the enemy to try to come in, try to attack, try to do, so that he operates on things that we before we even know that we're being attacked. Or before, you know, he's always working on our behalf beyond what we can see with our natural eyes. This is why him in our life is such an asset to us spiritually. Just knowing that he's there by our side every step of the way. We don't have to go through these challenges in life by ourselves. We don't have to deal with challenges and changes by ourselves. We don't have to carry life leaving life situations by ourselves. Amen. He's there to help us, to walk us through, to navigate us, to lead us in truth, especially when it comes to decisions. When we learn to rely on him more, then we will see the effects, the power, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, it's like having a standby help right there, watching with you, waking with you all the time. But, you know, he's there to do some things for you, but you never give him an opportunity because you keep want to do it by yourself. You never, or you, because you don't know he's there to really be there for you, you never utilize him. So he's right there watching you go through the struggle and strain. Like, if you just give me a chance, let me do it, I can do it. But at the same time, if you don't know he's there, you don't understand his operation in your life, you never put a demand on him. So he's right there, is watching you like, wow, you know, it would be a lot easier if you just let me do it. I mean, my goodness. So we see that. Then he also means to, one, that please the cause for another. One, that please the cause for another by tribunal or judicial or court. Amen. So even when the enemy tries to be the accuser, because he is the accuser, he tries to accuse you before God. The Holy Spirit is advocate. He's standing as his advocate before you, or standing on your behalf, speaking for you on your good. He also wants one that defends or maintains a cause or proposal. Amen. Same way he was saying, one that supports or promotes the interests of another. And so also, too, on the other side of it, he also promotes the kingdom. He also promotes the kingdom way, the kingdom, the way God does things, even what Jesus, because he remembers Jesus said he will bring those to remembrance that was said. So he will also work on behalf with Jesus, work on behalf of Jesus as well, reminded us of things that the Word says. That's why as we continue to learn, meditate in the Word day and night, get the Word in our spirit, in our heart, as we continue to get that Word in there, he will bring that Word back to remembrance. He's like an ATM, he's like a bank account. You know, and when you put in, he'll be able to bring back. But if you never put nothing in, well, what can he have to bring back? Now he will always be ready and available to us, but once again, we have to make the preparation in our hearts and do what needs to be done so he can be empowered to really help us. And then, two, covenant relationship. The more we spend time in his presence, spend time with the Holy Spirit, and even through in prayer, this is where we become more fine-tuned to walk closer with him, and his voice becomes stronger in our lives. Amen. For those who need to call, who have a question, comments, or even prayer, a request, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the Q box. Amen. So he's always on our side. He's always preparing a way for us. He's always doing some things. That's why even before we realize some things, he's already got an emotion. He's always touching the hearts of people sometimes on our behalf before we even have an idea what's going on. You know, only we know is a person that responded to us a certain way or decided to be a blessing to us, but we don't know how he's already worked on someone's heart for us on our behalf. He's always working in our corner. It's always good to remember that. Amen. Let's go to John 16, verse 13. Amen. John 16, verse 13. Amen. So we have here, the scripture says, I'm sorry, it's Mark. Okay. All right. Verse 13 says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. I'm reading it in the NLT version. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So here it is. He's always working on our behalf and working on the behalf of the kingdom. See, he never promotes himself. He's a mediator. He's one that relays message. He relays our prayers and our hearts, our hearts' concerns and desires to the Father, as well as he also relays the Father's back to us and through Jesus as well. So he's always promoting others rather than himself. And so as he's here, the Spirit of Truth comes. He will guide you into all truth. See, when he guides you in all truth, he's going to lead you according to the Word of God, according to the Kingdom of God, not according to this earth. Amen. Now, he's not going to lead us into rebellion or into sin, no. But at the same time, he's going to remind us and lead us in the way of the kingdom. And when we understand the way of the kingdom, the kingdom's way is not going to be the world's way, because the world is going to be on the opposite plane. But at the same time, he also knows how to govern us in such a way that will keep us in compliance and with God. He will keep us in the right standing with God. Amen. He will guide you to all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. So he's always sharing. You know, he's always in a position to share, but the question is, are we listening? Are we paying attention to what he's saying? Are we in a position to hear from him? Because we just can't be just saying that we'll hear from God, but that we're not in the right position. Just like he mentioned in the beginning, if you love me, keep my commandments. We cannot be in rebellion and expect to hear from God or help me to hear from the Holy Spirit and really operate in his will and way if we're walking in rebellion. So we have to make sure that our hearts are right and that we're clear to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Amen. And the very last segment, the little part there. Oh, sorry. He says, and he will tell you about the future. So even those things that's to come, he's willing to speak. He's willing to give us wise counsel as well as, matter of fact, let me say this. He will tell us things to prepare us for the future. And sometimes, too, in some things he will reveal to us about what's going to happen in the future, but then sometimes he will help us to make preparations so we'll be in place as the future comes along, and we will fall right into the right things happening and doing the right things. That's why, it's like our steps are ordered by the Lord. Our righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. When he ordered our steps, he's doing it according to the plan of God for our lives. So, amen. Amen.
Praise God. When we look at this scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit, of course, has a divine and direct connection with God concerning our life, concerning its good things and anything that he foresees that's going to happen. If you think about the natural, because some people might say, well, how can I make sure that I hear God? If you think in the natural, or hear the Holy Spirit speaking in the natural, if you are constantly telling someone something to help them and they completely do the opposite all the time, don't go this road, that's not going to work, you need to go this way, and you're giving them truth and sound advice based on your experience, based on a number of things, not just hearsay, but just the truth, and they constantly go opposite of what you're saying, at some point, you're just going to be silent because they're not receiving from you. They're not listening to you. And that's almost like how the Holy Spirit tends to work. Apostle Marcus has been doing a series on meditation, and part of that meditating is understanding, as you focus and center in on God's word and begin to make yourself sensitive to his speaking, you'll hear him more and clearer because you're tuned in to him spiritually. Well, the Holy Spirit works like that. If he is constantly giving you information and you are ignoring him, you are not moving upon what he says to do, he's telling you those things to come, like the scriptures is telling us, because he's getting direct word from God, and he's telling you things to come concerning your life, and you're constantly ignoring him. At some point, you may not hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, because you've been totally ignoring him, just like how you would feel. I'm trying, and parents go through that a lot when their kids reach that teenage stage. You know, they get to the point where they feel like they know a little more than you, and you're constantly telling them to go this direction and this way because it's going to be better for them. And you're telling them based on your life experience and things that you wish you had done differently if you could go back. And they're not hearing you. They're just constantly going through this phase, and they keep running into the brick wall because they're not listening to your voice. At some point, even as a parent, you realize that you have to be silent, and you're going to have to let them hit those brick walls on their own and learn. And what eventually happens is the children will come to themselves, they'll come back, even in early 20s or so, they'll come back to you and they'll say, you know, I learned. I understand now what you were talking about, Mom. I understand now what you meant by that, Dad. But they had to hit some walls, and that's what happens. And here is the Holy Spirit is speaking truth, and we're not utilizing him as a guide by following what he's leading us and guiding us to. At some point, you may not hear the Holy Spirit speaking because you're not taking heed to the word that's given. And it's not that, I want to clarify, it's not that the Holy Spirit isn't speaking, but you're not tuned in well enough because you've been listening to other voices. So you can't even hear the Holy Spirit, although he's speaking, because you can't identify his voice. When you're not listening to somebody and you're allowing every other voice to guide you, then that person's voice doesn't sound like it's there, even if it is there. You can't hear it because you've allowed other voices to drown out the Holy Spirit. And so as we take the time to listen, even in the little things that the Holy Spirit is guiding us to and the truth that the Holy Spirit is telling us, and remember, like I said, he has a direct connection with God. So everything that he is speaking to you, everything that he is telling you, everything that he's guiding you through in your life, it's like a blueprint from God himself concerning you. And the Holy Spirit is only going to speak those things into your heart and into your life that God allows him to release. So when we begin to take heed to that, just think of the benefit that it will be to you spiritually, even in the natural realm, when we take heed to the voice of the Holy Spirit, when we take time to not just recognize him as our comforter, but truly trust in the word that God has given the Holy Spirit for us. It doesn't demonstrate that you even believe in the Holy Spirit when you don't utilize what he is giving you, how he's speaking to you, the instructions that he's giving you. It makes it seem like you don't even believe what God has left for us when you don't take advantage of the fact that the Holy Spirit is there and he's speaking what God wants you to hear. Through in your spirit, he's speaking it to you. He's guiding you through the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you're not taking heed. That demonstrates that you don't believe what God has said concerning the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen.
Amen. So as we see here, just in the midst of what she was saying just now, as we see how the Holy Spirit is still speaking, and I want to also bring this point too, is also a frequency. Sometimes we're on a different frequency. You could be listening at 106.3, and I could be listening at 93.6. We're both listening to the radio, but we're on the wrong frequency. And here it is, the Holy Spirit still is trying to tune in. If he needs you to tune in on 93 and you're on 106, then you're off frequency. You're off the frequency, so you can't, even though he's speaking, you can't hear. And that's why it's important for us to get in the same page and one accord with the Holy Spirit. This is why we need prayer. As we enter in prayer, prayer helps us to fine-tune and also come brings us in that place as well to hear what he is saying. And like you're saying, do silence in those voices. Some of us have too many voices in our ear. Everyone has opinion for your life. Amen. We have to just stop that, shut it down, and get God's plan for your life and stick with his. Because everyone has an opinion, everybody got one, but who has the plan? God does. God has the plan, not an opinion. God has the plan. There's a difference between having an opinion and having a plan. Amen. God is the author, you know, the Lord is the author, he's the author and finisher of our faith, so he knows the plan. We, as men and women and God, people, as people, we you know, we have an opinion about what it could be. We don't know for sure. And some things, you know, unless we know for the Holy Spirit showing himself strong or has spoken, but we have to know and realize that he is on our side and that he knows the plan for our life. And that's why this is, you know, it's a plus for us to be in that place with him, to where we can hear and understand what he's saying to us. Amen. It's very important for us to be in a position to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us and speaking, especially in this season of time, because the challenges will come. Different things may come and go, but we need to make sure that we hear his voice and not everyone else's or everything else. Amen. So glory to God. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Well, I'm sorry. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Then we'll come back to Mark 15. Oh, no, let me rephrase that. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Then we're going to ask one. Mark chapter 16, very familiar verse of scripture for us. Amen. He says, and he said to them, "Go to all the world and preach the good news or the gospel to every creature. He that believes on me is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned." And also in the NLT verse says, "Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be damned." Amen. From same thing. Amen. "And these things shall follow; these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils; they shall speak with new tongues." Amen. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." So we want to see, as we see here, he said these signs shall follow them that believe. Another major part of the Holy Spirit in our life is to open up and release signs and wonders, amen, in our lives. He is there to show the super manifestation of the power of God in our lives, amen. And this is why we need him in operation. We have to be in tune with him, listen and obey him in order for him to show the power of God in our lives. And without him, we can do nothing. And so we have to make sure that we're in that place to hear from God in order to see the signs and wonders happen. Because he said, verse 17, "These signs shall follow them that believe." If you believe in him, if you believe in the Lord, and if you believe in the kingdom system, the way the kingdom hierarchy, the kingdom way of doing things, we shall see the signs, manifestation about the presence of God. Amen. He goes on to verse 18, "They shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Amen. "And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." It's very important to understand that without him, we can't cast out devils. Without him, we can't speak with new tongues. Without him, we can't take up serpents. And also, without him, we can't drink any deadly thing and it not hurt us. There's a purpose and a reason for him being in our lives to re-empower us to do those supernatural things that God has placed in our hearts and abilities to do. Only he can do that. He's the activator. He's the one who walks it out in our life. "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." That's the only way that can happen is by the power of the Holy Ghost and not our own self. Because we know if it was a sinner, we lay a hand on somebody, okay, nothing will happen. But because of Jesus, because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through us through our faith, because, you know, and we get really released because of the power and word of God through our life, people can receive healing and restoration to be stripped and built up. All these things that need to happen can now happen because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
One of the things that I like about this scripture is that it reminds us that the Holy Spirit does the work. There is nothing that you can do to make these things happen. The only thing the scripture says is that you should believe. That's it. The same anointing, power, belief that it took you to be saved. You know, most of us did not have one of those miraculous experiences when we became saved. We felt within our hearts that we needed to give our life. We went to the altar. if those of us who were in a church, we went to an altar, we spoke the word, we believed, you know, on the virgin birth and that Christ was raised from the dead, and we received him in our heart. That was as much faith as we had at that time. That's the same type of faith or belief that you need to have for these things to happen. It says these signs will follow those who believe. Not might follow, not could follow. These signs will follow. All of this is done by the Holy Spirit. Once you have your first part done, those who believe, if you are the those who believe, everything else is done by the Holy Spirit. And I think that what happens is that we walk in a little bit of fear that, oh, man, if I lay hands on this person, they're not going to be healed, or if I do this, it's not going to happen, because we're thinking it's something that we do so special and so great. All you do is believe. The same belief that you gave your life to Christ with is the same belief that you have. The Bible says these signs will follow. It is an assurity. It is a truth from the Scripture that it's going to happen as long as you believe. When you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. When you speak these things in God's name, not in your own name, that you'll be able to cast out devils because of his name. The people will speak in tongues because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And you are led in these things. You're going to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. You're not just going to walk up to somebody and start casting a demon out of them. When you are led by the Spirit of the Lord, there's an anointing present that will cause it to be easy. When you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. It says, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There is no maybe, could be. We have to be careful when we're praying for people that are sick not to be moved by physical attributes, because physical attributes do not determine healing. When you lay hands, that thing is done. It's finished. Just like Jesus spoke to the fig tree, if Jesus himself went based on the physical attribute of the tree did not appear that it had been dead, but it was dead at the root where you couldn't see. And so the next day, now this tree, which hadn't received any nourishment because the roots were all dried up, now you begin to see. After some time, you begin to see where the prayer actually works. So you can't go based on physical attributes, and the Holy Spirit the whole time is leading you through this. He's telling you what to do, what to say, how to do, and all of this. Nothing in this scripture is saying that you're going to do this on your own, because remember, back in some other scriptures, the Holy Spirit had already left you with, I mean, God had already left you with the Holy Spirit. So you're doing these things in the name of the Lord, not in your name, not in your power, not in your might, not in your own ability, not in, and whether or not, you know, it worked for somebody else, not in the God of Abraham, your God, the God you believe in, the God you said that you are saved by. That's how these things are working, through the Holy Spirit that he left for you. You need to take it more personal. When you look at it in that sense, the same faith that you had to believe for your salvation is the same those who believe he's talking about. Those who believed in the virgin birth, those who believed without seeing, because, you know, there's a testimony that we have as believers that's greater than some others, because we stand in faith and we believe and we have not seen. Most of us have not seen God himself. But we still stand in belief, knowing that God is who he is. And so that same faith that you know, that somebody could not come and change your mind about how you know God is who he is in your life, is the same those believe that this sign, these signs will follow.
Amen. So as we see here, I want to go down a few more verses to even back up the point that she's just saying, amen, in this matter. You know, you're not doing this alone. You're not. You're absolutely not doing it alone. And as we continue to walk out these scriptures and see the hand of God, he's going to show us right here, amen, that truly we're not standing by our own. As we go down a little further, Dispatch 18, verse 19, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Lord. He sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked with them, worked through them, confirming what he had said by many miraculous signs. Let me go to verse 20 in the King James verse says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through signs following. Amen. So we see here, once again, it's not them by themselves. They went forth and they're physically going forth to do the work, but spiritually being backed up by Christ as they did the work. So this is why we understand it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about us. As we go forth to do his will shall be done. So with by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is why we have to understand. We see the power of God when he is working through us. If we have to utilize our relationship with submission about our faith, we have to operate about our faith, put our faith in operation in order for us to see the manifestation that we need to see. Faith without works is dead, being alone. There's no way we can see the power of God without faith, first of all, and without you executing or going forth and doing what the Lord has told us to do, what he's leading us to do, especially by the way the Holy Spirit, as he leads us to pray, stand in the gap for other people, whatever it is he may have us to do. We can't see the power of God without without our cooperation with him. We must cooperate with God. There's no way, first of all, even here, even more so, he said this word being confirmed. If we're not preaching this word, how can he confirm anything? If we're not preaching this word, he's not. He's only obligated to confirm his word. Not our opinion. This is why when we preach the gospel, we got to make sure that we preach in the sound word of God. Amen. Not our opinion, not what we think it is, not what we think it says. We need to preach the word. Stick with the word, the whole word, nothing but the word. Amen. So as we continue to go on here, let's go to Acts chapter. I think we went to Acts chapter 1. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Amen. 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 Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And we read through NLT says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me wherever, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. So in order for us to receive his power, we got to receive his. Let's receive his power. We're going to see the supernatural. Now, I'm going to say this: when I first got saved, I was born again, but I was not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I walked two or three years, with just being saved, then after filled with the Holy Spirit, then I began to really see the supernatural manifestation begin to happen in my life. Then I begin to experience the supernatural things of God happening because of being filled with his Spirit. So not saying that you're not saved without being filled, but when you are filled, now you are endowed with his power on high. You know, and so now you begin to see over and above, but more than just the human side, but you see now a supernatural side. The supernatural side of God that he's expressing and showing through you. Amen. You know, you see yourself and you think, you know, you're saved. You look in your mirror. You look, you know, right? You look at the same person you were. Right. But now with his Spirit in you, he's filled you. Now you're walking in the ability to do see the supernatural. This is why it's very important for us as a believer. Now the power of God is in operation, filling you up. He has you filled up, and he's now in operation in your life. Amen. See, now you'll be witnesses to tell people and let them know that Christ is real. You know, and you'll be able to demonstrate his power by prayer. And you see the difference when you pray or hear the difference or feel the difference as you pray for others being filled with his precious Holy Spirit. You know, you begin to even speak with a boldness that you probably didn't have before and a confidence. And you begin to see the manifestation of the power of God in your life. So, amen. So, as you continue to trust in him, rely on him, allow him to be God, don't be afraid, but stand up. Understand, you know, being filled with his power doesn't mean that you're powerless, but you're powerful in God.
When I look at this scripture, it reminds me, to be honest with you, of superhero. Because when you think of superheroes, they actually dwell among people as regular people. You know, one of the first superheroes that those of us who are probably at least over 30 remember is Superman. And he walked among people as Clark Kent. It was as if he was just a normal human being. And in order to keep himself disguised, he was even played as a lesser human being, like even lower than the regular human being. He was a nerdy, clumsy type person. But when the power would come on him, if we want to use it as an analogy, he turned into this super being, completely opposite of his personality as a regular person. He could blow a cool air from his mouth. He could fly. He could lift tall buildings. He could leap over things. And so it's almost as if when you are tuned into the Holy Spirit, we are actually aliens on this earth. We have diplomatic immunity. Apostle Marcus has preached about that, because although we dwell among the people, once you become born again, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. Clark Kent was really not of planet Earth. He was really from another place. And so the abilities that he had were superhuman abilities, because he wasn't really all just plain old human. And so it's almost like how we are. God has given us an advantage here on earth, but most of the time we fail to tap into the advantage that we've been given. And when the Holy Ghost power is upon you, you are able to do things that are, quote unquote, superhuman. You're able to utilize the Holy Spirit through prayer, through the Word of God, through fasting, through whatever avenue God is leading you to defy those things that would normally be a regular thing on earth. You're able to kind of counter it because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's almost as if you become a superhuman. Once you are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and you're being led by the voice of the Holy Spirit, we've seen countless times where unusual healings have taken place, and the only thing they can document it by saying it was a miracle, because medical science can't explain it. It's beyond the natural. It's supernatural. And the only way that happens is because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's been placed upon us. And so we have an advantage here on earth that we need to tap into more so that we can demonstrate to the world. Remember, we are here also as examples, because the world system needs to see that Jesus is the one and true God, and he is the only way that's the right way. But they need to see the demonstrations. Remember, signs and wonders are really not for you. You already believe. That's like somebody says seeing is believing. That is not true. Seeing is knowing. You already know it when you see it. But when you stand in belief, your expectation is there before you even see the manifestation of it. And so the signs and wonders are really not for us as believers. It does give us a continuous hope and a faith, and it boosts us in the spirit. But before it came into existence, we already know that it's there. So technically, signs and wonders are for the world system to bring them over into the kingdom. It's not really for us. We already believe. We are already in the kingdom. And so the power of the Holy Spirit is designed to help us to bring the world over to the kingdom of God, so that we can expand the kingdom of God and decrease the kingdom of darkness. It all goes back to God and salvation and leading people to Christ. Amen.
Amen. The word power means the ability or right to control things or, in some cases, people. It means power, I mean, person or organization, person or personal organization that has a lot of control and influence over people, organizations, the ability to act or produce an effect. The ability to act or produce an effect. The ability to get extra in the game of baseball, extra base hit. Amen. The capacity for being acted upon or undergoing an effect. Okay, so here it is. It also means a physical might, mental or moral efficiency. Amen. So when we talk about power, it's above and beyond the natural, above beyond the norm. No, it's not normal. So even like she mentioned, even as Prophet mentioned about Clark Kent and Superman. See, you notice that if you look at the I love the way, I always like to look at this whenever I mention, let me make sure I mention that there's one of these callers, and that was 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. But when we talk about Superman, the awesome thing about it is he went into his deformable. Well, as we can equate that to today, as we go into our closet, that's when we begin to reactivate the supernatural inside of us. You know, as we spend time in his presence in the closet, we come out. See, the thing is, when we go into the closet is where we dwell in his presence, begin to get strengthened by his presence, his anointed. Everything begins to cover us. See, when he smears his anointing on us in his presence, and we're in that phone booth, in the closet, that's when we come out endowed in his power. This is where we will see the ability to walk in the supernatural abilities and the might to do mighty works and miracles. And Acts, see, this is where we have the endowment to do the supernatural by getting in his presence and allowing him to smear himself all over us. Because, see, God is power. And so when he gets to smear himself on us, up and down, and we begin to walk in his supernatural abilities, we begin to walk in his deity. Amen. As we walk in his deity, this is the thing, this is the part, the very essence that make him God. We are walking in that because guess what? We have legal rights and the ability to walk in because he's our Father. We're not stealing anything, but we have every right. And when you understand that you have the right to walk in that, now we begin to see, you know, like the old thing saying, you see Nintendo, now you play with power, now you walk in power, the power of the Holy Ghost. You begin to see things happen. You begin to speak things and watch it happen. My God, did you just lay hands on the sick and watch them recover? You know, did you talk about real power that comes from only being in his presence? And see, as we humbly allow ourselves to get into his presence, we begin to be endowed by him more and more, because this is why you see some of the greatest saints or heard about some of the greatest saints doing some great mighty works and acts, because the one thing they all had in common, they spent time in the closet or the phone booth to get endowed with that power, and they came out. See, this is the whole idea. We go in the closet or the closet or the phone booth to spend time in his presence, and much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power, no prayer, no power. So with that same rule, much prayer, much power in the booth or in the closet. And when we come out of the closet, we don't have to pray no long prayers. We just speak the word, declare and decree. Release was already, listen. We release what's already on us and in us, and it's done. We don't have to beg, plead, but we have the ability, we have the supernatural right and the ability to walk in the power of God. See, we were never, when God made us, he never made us to just be mere humans. That was never God's plan. He never made us fallen. When man fell after the sin, but before then, we were already in the glory of God. Adam had the mind of God because he named the animals. As evidence to show you, God shared his ability, his glory with the man. But when man fell, he lost his glory. That's when he realized, oh my God, I'm naked. But before then, there was no need for, who cared if he was naked? Because the glory covered him. So understand, you were never made, God never made you just to be an ordinary human being. He never made you to be a regular person. That's why he sent Jesus to restore that power back to the church, to let you know that you are more than a conqueror. See, he didn't say you're a survivor. I talked to someone last night, it was a couple nights ago, who said that they were a cancer survivor. I said, you're not a survivor, you're an overcomer. They didn't look at me like, huh? But the point of the matter is this, a survivor is like, you just barely made it for dead. I mean, you just, no. You overcame that thing. You stood through the test and gave it the best shot, and you're still here. You're an overcomer. Don't downplay what God has done by saying you're a survivor. You're an overcomer. Glory to God. So as we see the power of God, we encourage you that you understand the rights and the ability that you have to walk in the power of God. Don't sit on it. Just being a regular human being. Don't get comfortable being Clark Kent. Be the Superman, Superwoman that God has called you to be. He never called you to just to be this, you know, Clark Kent, look like, you know, hey, just like everyone else. No, stop, listen. Stop trying to fit in and be different the way he made you to be. See, the Holy Spirit sets you apart. He sets you apart differently from everyone else. Even though we both have the same spirit, we still have the same Holy Spirit within us, but he operates through us differently. And it's okay. It's variety. It's good. But don't downplay yourself as Clark Kent when you've been called to be Superman. Be who God has called you to be. Do what God has called you to do. Watch God move on your behalf. Glory to God. So we encourage you tonight. Don't hold back. Go in. Go all out. Launch onto the deep. Don't be afraid. Be fearless in his name. All for his glory. Be fearless. Walk in the supernatural ability that God has placed within you to be all who God has called you to be. We are walking out a process of becoming. But as we're walking out this process of becoming, we're becoming who God called us and ordained us to be. So, glory to God. We just want to encourage your hearts with that. And as we get ready to close, we may be talking about so fast, but amen, we'll be back, amen. Glory to God. But once again, the power of the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about. See, he is with you for a reason. He's here with you to empower you. He's here to work through you. He's here to work for you. He's here to speak on your behalf. He's here to speak up, speak through you as well. See, he's ready to use you, but are you ready to let go? Are you ready to embrace him? Are you ready to allow him to do what he's ordained to do in your life? You were never made to just be a regular human being. Remember that. You are not from here, so stop trying to fit in. You're not from here. But amen, you're from another place and another time. My God, God knew who you were before you even formed your mother's womb. He already knew your life, knew your history, your beginning, your end. So we thank God for tonight, amen, for his supernatural abundance of abilities and the mighty acts and all the things that he's able to do because of the power of the Holy Ghost has come upon us. We can work miracles, signs and wonders, amen. So be encouraged, amen. As we come to the close tonight, we want to encourage you, amen. If there's anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we want to give you the opportunity to receive him as Lord, and we want you to repeat after me, Father, forgive me. For I'm a sinner. I thank you for changing my life. I surrender all to you. I give my life in exchange for yours. I thank you for saving me. Sit on the throne of my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior and King. I openly receive you now. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those who have fallen apart out of fellowship, Lord, forgive me. for going astray. Thank you for bringing me back into right fellowship with you. I surrender all. I receive your love and new connection. Thank you for bringing me back into right standing. Thank you for changing my status. So now I'm back in right fellowship with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, glory to God. We thank God for each and every one once again for tonight, for being on. And once again, we talked about tonight the power of the Holy Spirit. And be encouraged and know that you can do great. You can do greater. You know, amen. You can do great things in God. Just let him and allow him to do through you. Amen. There's no limit to what God can do if you believe. Amen. According to your faith, be it unto you. So continue to believe and receive the mighty work of God. Amen. So God bless you all. You have a great night. Thank God for each and every one from the station here. And God bless you all for listening. May God continue to bless you all. Amen. Love you all. Amen. Bye-bye. To him.